Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, June 10th, 2014, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Remember, Mercury is retrograde until July 1st, so you might want to look that up in our vault if you're not sure how to navigate that. The Autumn Crystal Quest starts on the next equinox, September 21st to 27th, and we're already a third full. So if you have 25, 26, 27 degrees in any of these signs, Taurus, Scorpio, Cancer, Capricorn, Aquarius, or Leo, then you have the rites of passage to participate. So just send us an email to crystals@starseedhotline.com for more details. Our special guest this evening is Australian-born pet psychic Liza Callan, who is joining us all the way from Peru tonight. She's been able to communicate with animals, see auras, and read energy since childhood, and her connection with animals and other multidimensional beings has assisted her with her own transformation. Another of her gifts is having a multiphonic voice, which has been researched formally for its therapeutic effects. Using this technique, which is called cell singing, she's produced, played, and performed a CD entitled Ask Your Soul to Dance. And we'll be playing a sample of that for you this evening. Liza has also generously agreed to assist our audience with readings for their pets later in the show. Check out her websites, thepetpsychic.com.au and innerworldhealing.com. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails from our listeners. We'd like to thank Vanya for hosting the switchboard this evening, and you can call to speak to Liza on 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 when you're prompted, so she'll need to know the name, age, general location, and issue concerning your furry friends. We also have an online Starseed community at starseedhotline.ning.com. And special thanks go to Tammy for her dedication to the forum. Starseed Hotline's toll-free number is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. If you have a birthday coming up, you can find out how to make the most of your 10 hours of power by requesting your solar return timing. So first, this evening, I would like to introduce Anastasia with the Starseed News. Hello, Anastasia.
Good evening, everybody.
Hi there.
How's it going? Hi. It's great to be with you. Another week has passed, and we have lots of news to report tonight. We're going to have a great show, so I'll just get right into it. Well, everybody, the sun had an X-flare today. As a matter of fact, it had two. It was unexpected. The new sunspot AR-287 emerged from behind the sun's southeastern limb. It erupted twice. It produced an X2 and an X1 flare just a couple of hours apart. Now, X-rays, they say, and UV radiation from the double flare created a wave of ionization in Earth's upper atmosphere, altering the normal propagation of radio transmissions over Europe. Now, before today's double eruption, forecasters had been keeping a wary eye on sunspot complex AR-280 and AR-285, because this is almost directly facing the Earth, and those two sunspots have what they call delta-class magnetic fields that harbor energy for X flares. So they say that this new emergence of this new sunspot 2087, which erupted today, adds another potent source for large flares to the mix. They say solar activity has spiked to high and is likely to remain so in the days ahead. So the sun has woken up from its drowsy spell. And today, NASA's All-Sky Camera Network has reported 108 fireballs. They kind of dropped off the radar there for a little while. We didn't have too many, but now they're spiking again. On June 6th in Ontario, Canada, they spotted a fireball as bright as the moon. Reports were saying that it had a swirling mist of green, fog around it as it was incoming. They said it was very large and very bright. There were a lot of witnesses to that event. And on June 5th, there was a huge, they say it was an enormous fireball seen in at least five states over this country. They think that the meteorites likely fell in the state of Wyoming. And also in Australia, there was a fireball reported in the sky over central Victoria. So the sky's lighting up again. And in Florida, smoke-filled skies covered much of southern Florida in the last few days. In fact, it just was yesterday. This was out of the Miami Herald. They said that it cut visibility in some places to a mile or two, obliterating parts of the skyline and closing a major road. It forced a health advisory and sent campers indoors. Now, the smoke came from a huge Everglades brush fire in West Broward, and they said that it has already burned nearly 20,000 acres, and this is according to the Florida Forest Service. In France, they had enormous thunderstorms, big thunderstorms, thunderstorms so big that erupted, by the way, not only over France and Belgium, but other parts of the French countryside and Brussels, that dropped baseball-sized to tennis-ball-sized hail onto the countryside. They posted an orange alert across the country saying that there was a continued threat of severe weather and for people to keep alert. So can you imagine tennis ball-sized hail? That was on the Internet, photos of that, and that's just amazing. And that can do major damage to vehicles and roofs, things like that. And they did say this is a relatively rare thing to happen in that part of the world, and certainly those size hailstones are very unusual. Well, there's an interesting story out of Australia. I just wanted to kind of pass this along. I thought it was something you ought to be aware of, Starseed, just to keep you informed. This has to do with financial news and the state of governments in the world. But in Australia, the Aussie government has bagged for itself an unprecedented $360 million from household bank accounts because they have made a controversial change in their law to that they call unclaimed money laws, unclaimed money laws. So they changed that law, and as a result of that, pensioners and people that have been saving for a rainy day, well, they reported trying to get into their savings accounts only to discover their money was gone. It had been seized by the Australian government because it had been in there dormant for 3 years or more. I thought that's maybe what a savings account was for, but apparently the government saw that as an opportunity to increase its coffers. They say that the Australian government has collected more money from inactive bank accounts under this new three-year rule than the total amount captured in the past five decades combined. Nearly $360 million from 80,000 bank accounts was funneled into the government after they lowered the threshold, meaning changing it to 3 years, which eclipsed, they say, the $330 million that they got from bank accounts between 1959 and 2012. And at that time, they had had a law that idle accounts could only be touched after 7 years. So anywho, those of you living in Australia, if you haven't touched your savings account for a while, well, it might be a good idea to kind of go in there and stir it up a little bit once in a while because they're just skimming it off. Okay, well, San Juan area of Washington State is beautiful. The San Juan Islands are gorgeous. Don't know if you've ever been up there, but it's a very beautiful country. And there has been an increase in harbor porpoise strandings. That's hard to say. Harbor porpoise strandings. But that has got the local biologists just scratching their heads. They don't know what is going on because there has been an unusually high death toll. And they think this may signal something other than a natural die-off They don't know what it is. They say that they've heard that there's been an increase in the number of porpoise strandings in the British Columbia area as well. Now, they say and report that they didn't have one single stranding last May a year ago. So something has occurred now this year that is causing this to be on an increase. Nobody knows why. There have been a lot of floods across the world. The weather has kind of been going crazy. This is from the Voice of Russia, but flash floods have killed more than 50 people in northern Afghanistan, washed away hundreds of houses, and forced thousands of people to evacuate. They say that the floods have destroyed 4 villages and washed away 2,000 houses, agricultural fields, and killed thousands of cattle in Afghanistan. And also in northeast China, this follows a late-breaking May heat wave. There was also, in this past few days, hail, record rainfall, and landslides that destroyed crops, damaged thousands of homes, and killed 27 people. So in Brazil as well, we are having flooding. So yet another country. Flooding caused by torrential rains over the weekend, this past weekend, killed at least 9 people and left 3 missing in southern Brazil, causing a state of emergency in 77 towns. More than 55,000 houses were flooded in these 77 towns where the state of emergency was declared in Brazil. Now, in our previous newscast, we've talked about these strange deep-sea fish that are beginning to come to the surface. I had given you a news article about all of these different fish that are coming up to the surface, and that is still continuing. Tonight's news only covers a few of these stories. There are many more. One of them, I recall, was a purple jellyfish that was so rare they didn't even know if it was even identifiable. They had considered that maybe it was an unknown species. But on the other side of it, besides jellyfish, we've been seeing oarfish. And an oarfish has washed up on the bay of Baja California in La Paz. And they say, of course, you know, as perhaps if you've listened to this newscast, that oarfish are really rare, and they are very, very deep water fish. They're commonly called a sea serpent. But there was a dead one found along the boardwalk of La Paz Harbor. And also, incidentally, just last year, 2 oarfish were found dead on the beaches in Catalina Island and Oceanside in California. So this is happening all over the world. These oarfish are surfacing. Also in Vietnam, just a day or two later, someone found an oarfish that had come to the surface. And here's an interesting story out of England. And this was I wish you could see this photograph. I really wish we had a PowerPoint slide presentation for everybody to see the pictures that go with these stories. This is a fish that was absolutely, I don't know, it was alien. The photograph of it was amazing. I couldn't have drawn a fish that looked like this because it really didn't look like a fish. But it's a rare fish, and it washed up on a beach in England, Yorkshire Beach, and they say that fish lives in the open ocean at depths of up to 1,000 meters. And furthermore, that fish, which is called a deal fish, D-E-A-L, you ought to check that out on the internet, look at a picture of that thing, they say that it normally inhabits the colder waters north of Scotland, and which brings up the point that a number of these animals, these marine animals that are coming to the surface, actually are surfacing in waters that are not their normal native habitat. They're appearing at distances from where they should be. So something is stirring up the depths of the ocean, and they really don't know what's causing this. And it's a little bit chilly in Canada. You know, it's really nothing unusual about a record cold when it's supposed to be cold. But in the Canadian prairies this past weekend, they said temperatures were hovering around 0 centigrade. And in northern Manitoba, they're forecasting for snow. And meantime, down in the southern hemisphere, the Chilean Meteorological Office was surprised by a coastal snowfall right along the oceans of Chile. Very unusual, very unheard of. They could have never expected that. So some pretty weird weather patterns across the planet. And in India, there has been an interesting volcano-like eruption. This was a volcano-like eruption coming from a hillside. It triggered panic among people in this area. They say that flames and a hot liquid stream were spewing out of a hill just 100 meters away from a village. Well, the state geologist there confirmed that the eruption was a small magmatic activity. That's what they're calling it. And they say that this is the first time such a volcanic activity has been witnessed in India. The flames and the hot liquid emanating from the hill made people run. They said that underground temperature in the area increased manifold, that a steel electricity pole had become red hot to the touch, and that there was sulfur and black stone flowing out from the perimeter of this hill. So, very interesting. Not a volcano, just lava and stuff coming out of the hillside. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah, interesting. And we all talk about health items and our interest in eating healthy, and I've talked about aspartame before, but I wanted to bring this study to your attention that came to mine. It comes from Healthy Life. And this article indicates that over the course of a decade, 60,000 women were studied to confirm the effects of aspartame on their physical systems. They found that drinking diet soda that has been sweetened with aspartame has been linked with a 50% rise in death and a 30% rise in heart attacks. Now, despite the fact that aspartame is definitely considered a neurotoxin, these less than flattering findings have been concealed by mainstream media feeds that claim that aspartame is not the cause of disease, but has been implicated by association. In other words, they say that the poor health of aspartame users occurs from other unhealthy habits or their lifestyle choices. Well, you know, that is just only going to last so long before people just quit believing that stuff. If the evidence against aspartame became well accepted, there would probably be big liabilities to the manufacturers and enormous financial setbacks for those companies who add it to their products. Now, according to Healthy Life, aspartame is made from bacteria feces that has been genetically engineered. Wow. It's a chemical made in the lab, and when this concoction goes into the diet soda, methanol and formaldehyde are the byproducts of our bodily processing of this stuff. And during digestion, formaldehyde is oxidized and forms into a formic acid. And incidentally, folks, formic acid is what ants secrete to defend themselves. There are more than 90 different side effects that are linked with the consumption of aspartame. Dizziness, headaches, seizure, vertigo, memory loss, loss of taste, hearing loss, numbness, depression, vision problems, irritability, rashes, insomnia, and on and on and on. So, you know, the next time you think you're merely cutting back calories to save your pretty figure, you might want to think again. We all might want to just forego these popularized toxins and drink some good water, because studies do indicate it's really very bad for us. And Siberian experts say that they cannot solve the cause of a mystery sleeping disorder. This is probably the weirdest story I have ever reported on Starseed News. In fact, it's one of the weirdest stories I have ever come across. Scientists in Siberia are puzzled by this mysterious condition which causes people to suddenly fall asleep from between 2 to 6 days in the areas around this little village called Kalachi. It's an almost, and also in another neighboring town, they say it's an almost abandoned town. It only has like 130 residents in it, but the town's called Krasnogorsk. So two little towns, Kalachi and Krasnogorsk. Now, they have been puzzled by this for over 2 years. The most recent incidence of this was just last month, a few weeks ago. A milkmaid in Kalachi reports that, and I'm quoting her, "I was milking cows as usual early in the morning, and I fell asleep. I remember nothing at all, only that when I came round, I was in a hospital ward, and the nurses smiled at me and said, 'Welcome back, sleeping princess, you've finally woken up.' What else do I remember? Nothing. I slept for 2 days and 2 nights. There were a lot of people affected with this stuff, but another man who was hit with this sleep plague said, 'I came with my wife to visit my mother-in-law. In the morning, I wanted to finish my work. I switched on my laptop, opened the pages that I needed to finish reading, and that was it. I felt like somebody pressed a button to switch me off. I woke up in the hospital with my wife and mother at my bedside. The doctor found absolutely nothing wrong with me. I slept for more than 30 hours. But this has never happened to me before, never in my life, nor to anyone from my family. Well, there are a number of sleeping communities around Russia, and some people even pack their bags when they leave the house because they're afraid they're going to go into a Rip Van Winkle sleep coma and end up in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Now, isn't that something? This epidemic comes in waves. Like I said, it's been several times in the last 2 years with the most recent last month. Now, local people are saying that 40 to 60 of their townspeople has suffered from this very long sleep. And scientists in Russia have sought to explain the phenomenon. They have conducted 7,000 experiments on soil, water, air, patients' blood, hair, and nails without being able to figure out what the problem is. Some are calling it encephalopathy. Others think it's caused by radon gas, and psychiatrists are claiming it's mass psychosis. And some are claiming it is the result of uranium waste. Well, none of those theories really fit when you study the whole situation. I'm only reporting part of this to you tonight. Well, anyway, studies are ongoing, and the mystery remains unsolved. But we might note tonight that no one is mentioning perhaps black ops weaponry, things that governments can do and do and have done to populations to test weapons and so on. So who knows? But that's a pretty weird thing. So if you get sleepy, just make sure you don't go to sleep for 2 or 3 days. Well, there's a wonderful story. Right, don't go to sleep in Russia. Well, the University of California has a wonderful study. There are some students at Riverside which say they have discovered an inexpensive roof coating that can eat smog-forming particles in the air. And if you apply this stuff to thousands of tiled rooftops, like in Southern California, it could clean tons of pollution from the atmosphere every single day. Now, this coating is made up of titanium dioxide, which they say is a common and expensive compound found in everything from food to cosmetics. They say that for just $5 in materials, an average-sized residential roof could be coated. And the students calculated that for 1 year, it would break down the same amount of smog particles that is generated by a car that's been driven 11,000 miles. That is so cool.
Wow.
So, yes. And they say that they're going to continue to study this. The kids got a grant. They earned honors and prize money. And, in fact, the Environmental Protection Agency had a student design competition, and they won that. So they think that this could be a real breakthrough to clearing up the air. Isn't that just a wonderful thing? The simplest thing. It's beautiful. That's great.
Wow.
Well, our last story tonight is about big cats. You know, big donors, as it turns out, are the cats meow for big cats. Donors, financial donors from China, India, the United Arab Emirates, and the United States have agreed to fund an effort to save and protect the world's population of large cats like tigers and lions, jaguars, snow leopards, cheetahs, clouded leopards, cougars, and just regular old plain leopards. Panthera is the leading organization that's dedicated to ensuring the future of wild cats, and they announced on June 1st the 10-year commitment from several environmental philanthropists and the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi to provide $80 million for this new initiative. They say that this is unprecedented in its scale and scope. Panthera said the money will immediately fund the most effective solutions for conserving big cats by concentrating efforts to enforce anti-poaching laws and to protect their habitat. They say that the multi-year pledges will fund an plan to help conserve all 38 species of wild cats on the planet. So listen to this. Solutions will include protecting and stabilizing more than half of the world's most important Asian tiger and African lion populations. It will secure the largest carnivore corridor in the world for jaguars across 18 countries in Latin America. It will create community-based conservation projects in nearly all countries that have snow leopard populations. It will reduce killing and poaching in more than half of cheetah and leopard range countries. And it will design and implement a wide range conservation strategy for cougars, inclusive of creating corridors and recovery landscapes across North America. That's just splendid. And for more information on how to join Panthera in their efforts, please go to www.panthera.org. That's P like Paul, A-N-T-H-E-R-A.org. It's a wonderful thing to be involved in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be it for tonight's news. And I'm looking forward to the show. This is going to be fascinating. We're going to talk about animals. Our last story was about animals, so I'm anxious to get on to animal stories.
Okay. Well, great. Anastasia, thank you so much for the news. Some amazing stories this evening. And right now I am first going to get Lavendar's microphone working. Hello, Lavendar.
I am here, ready to go.
Great, great. Well, we have Liza on the switchboard. She's calling from Peru. Hello, Liza. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, everyone. Hello.
Great to have you with us. Well, Lavendar is going to kick it off for us this evening. And take it away, Lavendar.
Okay, Liza. So I'm so excited to hear about what you do. But first, I wanted to ask you if you could give us a little background about how you came to be this singing person, the self-singing person that you talk about. Also, give us a little indication of maybe some of your galactic experiences.
Oh, that'd be lovely. Okay. I was working probably in my 20s as a therapist, rebirthing and past lives and all like that with many people. And something, it was like a voice, but it was, you know, that internal thing. And I was reading a lot of auras, and something came through one day and said, you can heal the body with sound. And I thought, of course, it's frequency. It's just like auras. It's just light or it's sound. And I was a musician anyway at the time, and I had many clients, you know, coming for different levels of healing. And so I would always ask them at the end of the session, would you like me to do some sounds on your body, you know, about 6 to 8 inches above their body. And I really, I've never studied it. It was a very internal experience. And so then I discovered, well, oh, the body's the instrument. It's telling me which sounds. And then for many years, I just worked with probably hundreds of people, and I would call up and say, my tumor's gone, or this has happened, or I don't feel like that, or my pain, my carpal tunnel, it's just got, you know, so I don't promise anything, but I just say the sounds, I was just intuitively told, so I move up and down the body, and I just let myself do what I do. And then I did it on a doctor many years ago when I lived in Arizona. I was at a conference, and he was the head of oncology in Virginia Medical College, and he burst into tears after I did it on him, and he says, oh my gosh, I'm trying to create a sound machine. So he invited me over and they checked, and I didn't know I was multiphonic, but I can actually split, when I do the self-singing, it splits to two and sometimes three separate notes. So it's not a harmony as such. They split the notes, and I've since tuned into what I'm actually doing because I started teaching people to do their own self-singing, and I'd realized when you sing one or two or even three frequencies into the frequency or the part of the body where there's a blockage, a disease, an illness, an emotional, you know, stuckness, it actually, the organs or the area of the body will just suck in the sounds and then shift their own frequency. So the sounds just initiate a shift in frequencies, especially when you're bombarded with two or three beautiful frequencies, it just changes. So the body vibrates. It often, a lot of people see colors, go on journeys. It's not a meditation. It's lie down on a pillow and let yourself go there. So I do it in groups or individually. So I've just developed it over many years and I continue to do it. Animals love it. People, you know, respond to it in all different ways. And then I do it for prayer. I do it on top of mountains around here or for ceremony or just for the hell of it, in a group sometimes. So there. Also now with the animals, well, I was a child, I really haven't studied a lot of anything. I wanted to keep it sort of internally. It's just what I could hear. I thought most people could hear animals. I didn't even question it. You know, I didn't even ask if you can hear that animal. But so I just, it just developed from there. And when I was in the States, I lived there about 16 years, I realized there was a lot of people I was working on, but there was such a need for the animals, not just pet dogs and cats, but huge, vast consciousness and species. And so I just started going deeper with it. So it's very natural for me, the sounds, the animals. It just comes from from experimenting, from just doing it, and not creating a big belief system about it. But just, I do have a scientific mind, so I do want to understand the physics of it, but that can only go so far. Is that enough?
Yes, that really does explain it. But give us a little history of you growing up. When did you first discover that you had these abilities, and any kinds of ET encounters that you've had? Please share that with us.
Oh, yes. Well, I've always had these beings visit me. You know, there was always the people that had passed on. Now, that was since I was a little girl. And then there was the light beings, which I recognized even as a very young child, from about 4 years old. I thought, they come from a different place. They weren't, they certainly weren't dead people, and they certainly weren't angels, and they certainly weren't, you know, I just recognized there was a very familiarity, and I felt very close to them. And I almost remember at seven, sitting on the step all day saying, well, come and get me now. I don't know who these people are, but I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Of course, no one came and got me. I was looking up in the sky, and the people were my family. They're very nice people, but it's like, who are they? And so I had quite a lot of dreams. I'd wake up in the morning at breakfast and say, oh, my gosh, I went and visited the people under the earth last night. It was so colorful. They're so kind. I just thought it was just natural. I just didn't think until I think my father might have said, well, just keep that under your hat, what you do. He said, they'll lock you up. So he didn't say it's not real. They didn't say it's not real, though they're not. They weren't that way inclined. They just said, just keep it quiet. And so I was very much an extrovert and a sporty type and all like this, but I had this whole other life going. It wasn't always easy being a child and having these different energies come. But it was way before we even had TV. So I know that I knew about ships long before, you know, we lived in the bush, and I'd see these things in the sky, and then these beings would come. And they'd often, I didn't really even ask who they were. It wasn't even a question. It was just like, and sometimes they just put this light through me, or I wasn't ever afraid of them when I was a child. It was just all these other different things I had to deal with. As I grew up and over many, many years, many encounters with a huge variety of these beings, and I've heard of the greys, and then there's the ones that look like a bit like grasshoppers, and certainly the reptilians. I've had a pretty couple of nasty experiences with them. I had to protect my child for a period of time. I felt that they were trying to get onto her. She's grown up now. But I used to camp up at Mount Shasta, and I had a lot of experiences up there, very conscious, wide awake, powerful. And when I'd go back to Arizona, I'd go, oh, my gosh. I'd put myself back on the mountain just to get to sleep, and the next minute, you know, in my dream, I'd be in there. So there was always there's a lot of activity inside Mount Shasta. There's a huge, for some reason, I didn't know even Arizona was this hotbed of UFO activity, and I ended up living there 16 years. And in the end, with all these different encounters, sometimes I say, look, I see them in the sky in the middle of the afternoon. I say, go away. If you can't help me in life, there's nothing you can do for me. You know, I just got sick of just seeing ships. I wanted more. And so I did experience more. And some of those were quite terrifying. And then other times I'd say, someone would come to me in a dream and say, oh, do you want to go on an adventure? And I'm very adventurous. So, of course, the next thing you know, I'd be sort of conscious, and I'd be in a ship, and I'd see the earth sort of drifting away, and I'd go, oh, they got me again. But I wasn't afraid. I just accepted it. But sometimes creatures, they're not that, I don't know how they have the access or the how they how do they have the power to be able to invade, you know, my sleep, my space, or my waking day? And then others, many others, and I have had one encounter over probably a period of months with Pleiadians, for example, in Australia, and I was so at home with them particularly, but they never said words. They just stood around and put all this light through me, you know, every few nights for a whole lot. And I just understood things. So the language that I, or sometimes I talk to them, I remember because I remember sort of getting taken down in the center of Mount Shasta, and they were so busy. There's all this activity down there doing all these sort of strange work things or what have you. And I asked them, I said, well, why can't I ever touch you? And they said, oh, this is why. And they just touched me lightly, and I had this huge sort of electric, really uncomfortable, bordering on excruciating pain, but electricity. I thought, okay, that's why I can't touch you. We're different frequencies. But many months later, of course, I think I was lying in bed. Oh, yes, that was in Arizona. I was lying in bed one night, and next minute, you know, I'm in infinite space. And when I say they're dreams, they're much more than dreams because they are totally lucid. They're totally conscious. I wake up often with sitting up in bed with little marks on me. You know, I know that I've been somewhere. And I can talk to people that I've met up there and say, I saw you last night on a ship, which is, you know, a little unnerving for some people. But in this experience, when I was in this infinite space, it was in Scottsdale, Arizona, in the middle of the night, and there was this huge vitriol being really quite ugly, but very sweet, and he looked like he'd been lying in this infinite space for thousands of years. And he opened his eyes and he just said something like, you have work to do. Could you, in some fashion or other, like, you need to do something here? And I go, okay. And this very strange little creature, probably about 2.5 feet tall, I can still feel his skin on my, I can still feel the touch of him. And he was probably the very ugly little thing. I've never seen another one like it. And he jumped in my lap. And I sat up in bed, and I must have sat up all night, and I just held him like a baby. And I was even thinking, you are probably the ugliest little creature in the universe, and I love you anyway. And it was so beautiful because I felt that him and even his species may have never experienced this sort of love that I felt compelled to hold this little creature. And it was really amazing. And I woke up in the morning and I was just like, oh, I am little. You know, I just felt every cell of my body was vibrating love. And it lasted for days. And I still remember that vividly, the touch, the sounds, the feelings of this little creature. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I don't want to do too many scary stories, so I'm staying with the nice ones.
Well, I'm so glad that you shared that because, you know, our radio show really goes out to a lot of awake people, star seeds, and people that have had UFO experiences, and so the ones that are listening will certainly be able to identify with exactly what you said. And one of the things that I'm finding is that a lot of people are human by day and they're ET by night. I say that because there seems to be a lot of star seeds that will go about their daily task, and then when nighttime comes, they'll leave their bodies and they go aboard ship and they have other duties and other things that they'll join with groups, or sometimes they'll work by themselves. But I see this happening regularly. I mean, every day I get an email, or I have a client with a story that tells me about what they experienced aboard ship. So it's getting to be commonplace for us at Starseed Hotline to receive this information about others that are having these experiences.
Yes. Well, I've got probably about 50 or 100, so I won't go into all of them. And they're all very different. It's really interesting because I'm sort of a little envious of you because Emily was saying, oh, she channels the Pleiadians. I thought, oh, I love the Pleiadians. When they left, I cried my eyes out. And I said, when are you coming back? And they wouldn't answer. You know, don't wait for us. And I was like, oh. And so there was, it's really, I was sort of, yeah, like I said, a little envious because I thought, well, what do all these different ones have to come and visit me? And some of them are awesome. I've had lots of weird operations and, you know, like the normal type of thing that sometimes, or not, no, it's not normal at all, but the normal alien type of thing, and they haven't been all bad. Sometimes they've been incredibly healing. And actually, when I do the cell singing, I'll just switch to that for a minute, I've had a lot of people, when I do it in large groups or just for, you know, introductory to cell singing or something, and people say there's these huge aliens. And often when I do them in ceremony, it feels like the parking, you know, the parking in the galaxies, it all gets all crowded with ships. It's the funniest thing. You know, and I know I don't imagine it because I've got to look up and I could almost see them, you know. So they do love that. They love me singing. So I'm sure they're a part of it too. Just reminding me.
Well, one of the things that I have learned through the ages here of dealing with ETs aboard ship is that sometimes they'll come and take younger children, 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age. They'll take them aboard ship and they'll bring them back, and then the energies that they come back with has something to do with some kind of interdimensional frequency that's attached to their physical body that kind of gives them a glimpse of maybe the astral world. And in fact, a lot of beings that have died and crossed over sometimes will be visible to these young children when they come back, and they'll start talking about, oh, I saw grandma last night, I saw my uncle. It's because when they go into this space and then are brought back, it opens up in them. It's not about a psychic frequency. It's not about that. It's actually an electromagnetic frequency that has something to do with the opening and closing of the crack between the worlds. Do you know anything about this?
Yes, I do, actually. Yes, I haven't put it into a whole, you know, I haven't written a book about it, but I'm given a lot of information years before I even sort of know it almost. It's almost like, well, and then it just pops out like, oh, you've always known that. So I do understand it. I often feel like I'm living, you know, I don't know about in the cracks, but there seems to be quite a few lives going on in this one life. It's, and I only said last week, I wish I had more than one life, and then I thought to myself, oh, you have. You know, it's like I've got so much to do and be and live. And so I do understand a lot about frequencies, but it's not in a language that I can always articulate like you can. So it's I'm really grateful for you saying that.
Well, it just stands to reason that, you know, when you go to another dimension and encounter their energies, and most of them are about 3,500 years ahead of us in technology. So, and it just makes sense that when you visit such places and you come back, that you'll be a little different when you return. And I started seeing this many, many years ago. And then as you get older, after they first come and get you when you're a child, then they'll come back later and check on you or upgrade your implants or help you with, you know, different things. The people that are starseeds, the one that have, you know, raised their hand and simply come straight off of a spaceship down to the planet in inner physical bodies, they have agreements that they've made about coming and doing work here at certain times for the evolution of the planet. So I've been tracking this for some time, and I wanted to ask you about the area where you are now. Do you have a lot of spaceships that come and go from there? Do you have a lot of beings that show up in the areas where you are? Is it a shamanistic type place?
Oh, it's I live in Cusco, which is high in the Andes, about 3.5 hours from Machu Picchu. So it's a very active. I've been here several times, and I decided, look, I just better live here for a while because I just keep getting drawn back here. And so I took a photo of a metal ship in Machu Picchu a couple of years ago, but there, and then I see the big, I often get up at 2 or 3 in the morning and just look out the window because I've got this stunning view down into the city and into, they don't really care where they appear. There's a lot of people here that are, I think in South America or even Central America, they're much more, it's very normal. Like you could talk to just anyone and they go, oh, yes, oh, yes. You know, so it's not such a a weird thing here. They don't make a big deal of it. So I have had a lot of very strange and miraculously just somehow connected with nature too. I think there's something about the mountains here that's very potent. There must be a huge, big old, you know, vortexes all around here. You can go into energy places, and I feel very connected to interdimensional beings here, and that's probably why I'm comfortable. As much as sometimes it can be irritating, most of the time it's like pretty expanding for me. So yes, there's a lot of activity, especially in the lakes high in the Andes. I talk to a lot of people from around the world. You know, people come to visit, certainly to Cusco to get to Machu Picchu and wherever else, and it's almost like normal conversation. I don't think anyone here disbelieves it, you know, yet they don't always make a real big thing of it. So there you go. Powerful place. I love it. It's in my heart, in my cells, in my spirit.
Let me ask you, have you ever experienced coming back from being aboard ship and that you actually got to see colors that are not here on this planet, so there was no way for you to explain to anyone the colors you saw because there was no reference point?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. It's like, I want to tell somebody, but I don't know how to tell them.
Well, because I've got to shut it down all the time, but even when I get, when I get back here, I'm saying, oh my gosh, it's such a beautiful, oh.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I had a question I wanted to ask you, and now it's just gone off my head. Oh, let me think. Okay, let me bring it back. Do you do tours? Do people come? Do you put together packages for people come and spend time with you?
I haven't as yet, but I could ease. I'm very happy to. It's almost like with working with people for 30 to something odd years, I could easily do a tour. I've always wanted to do tours, and then there's a little part of me thinking, did I want that level of responsibility? But yes, I could easily just start doing small tours. I don't want to do big tours because I really feel there's something, it's very personal, you know, it's very private, and I do want to give all that I can give to, you know, maybe not 50 people, 20 people or something like that, but I know a lot about this place, and I know I'm finding ruins. I just walk in the mountains and I go, oh, that's where they dried the mummies. Oh, here's the sacred spring. I know these mountains. I've had lifetimes here. And I was happy here for the most part, I'd imagine, because I find these. And then there's all the obvious ones. And then there's the ones that I just walk off the side and the next minute there's a sacred, you know, ceremony area in the spring coming from the earth and these little scrapings and carvings and, no, it's probably one of the most magical places, it is one of the most magical places in the world, and it's deeply transformative, and from being here two years, it's like, you know, let alone if you come for 2 weeks tour, but I'm totally open to taking people on these journeys, so if anyone is interested, they can email me.
Virus database has been updated.
Oh, that virus woman. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, I would love to see you put something together, and of course we could always announce it on our radio show and promote it for you anytime you get ready to do that. I now remember what I wanted to tell you. We do have a gentleman friend that's in the Andes, and he listens to our show every week, and he says that he has to go down about 2 hours to a computer to download it on a podcast, and then he comes back up to his house, and then he turns it on and lets the whole valley hear our show.
Well,
I thought that was so cute.
Oh, no wonder everyone knows about UFOs in here now.
Yeah, I had no idea that people were actually, you know, in the Andes listening to our show, and so you're the second person that I know of that lives down there.
Yes. Honestly, everyone's welcome to come. Think about it. Consider it. Let the inner voice call you here, because it's probably one of the most transformative places I have ever, ever, ever been. And this is why I have to live here right now, because it's for me too. It's not just for, you know.
Right.
I do my own work long distance. At the moment, I was told that I needed to shift something in, you know, in what I was doing. It was a deep exhaustion sets in sometimes as a not so much working with animals, but it just happens. There's 30-odd years of, assisting people and animals, and it's very hard not to give too much, and that's just one of those things that some of us have. So I got tired. So I've always done long distance anyway, so it's perfect. I can do it. Once you expand your mind, and I think that's where the interdimensional being helped, it's almost like the belief systems just crash away and you think, of course, I only need a photo, I only need a sentence of the issues or for the animals, or I just need, I can just hear a voice and it's a frequency and then I can tell them all about themselves. So it's a beautiful gift and I'm very, very grateful because it doesn't feel as human. I am human. Where does this come from? Because people they go, oh my gosh, and I go, well, you can do it. I always tell people, you can do it. No, I can't. They can, if they want to, in the way they do it.
I want to say a little bit about what I have found out about voice. There is a frequency and a harmonic that comes from certain voices. And
yes.
I notice that certain times when I'm in session with someone, my voice will take on a different timbre of frequency. And as I'm looking at their chart, their astrological chart, which I look at to find their star markings, and then I hear their voice, that combination sometimes just keys me into what I call their cosmic bank account, where there's credits and debits of other lifetimes that they've lived, and it shows me their natural state and their rites of passage of where they're going to go next. And it all seems to happen when I start hearing their voice. Their voice has something to do with how I track. And then when my voice changes, in fact, I was born with an adult voice. I've heard stories from my family. As soon as I was able to talk, I had an adult voice. I never had a child's voice. And, I would walk into to church, and I would start speaking, and people would just start staring at me because I didn't have a child's voice. And I've often wondered about the work that I do now and coming back from the future. I guess I must have known I had to have a certain kind of voice to do the kind of work that I do. Just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you for that, because that's very insightful. That's very insightful because we're putting out the frequency, even in, be it in my soul singing or be it in the word, it's a frequency. And the more I think we align it to our the love, to the heart, to the truth, to the knowing without knowing, the higher the frequency is, and it comes through in the voice.
I know there was a movie that was made years ago. I think it was called Dune, and it had something to do with the women that had special voices to do certain things to bring in the energies. Yeah, I can't remember all of it now, but there was something about the magic of voice.
Yes, and I think that's why I use cell singing, especially with the wars and with all these tragedies and the Fukushima. I mean, it's just never ending. So I'm sending voices at my cell singing, the sound, and I just set an intention of saying this is going to Afghanistan, this is going to the children and the soldiers, or this is going here, or this is going. And so it's beyond words. It's beyond, oh, please, God, oh, please. And I think that's fine, too, because I do a bit of please, please, God, help me. But this sound, it feels like it's more, I wouldn't say more far-reaching, but it's beyond words. It's just this frequency, and it pierces, it penetrates.
Yeah.
And it's what the galactics do, whether I've seen them sort of like the ship comes, is clear, and then it disappears, and then it comes out, or I can still see it, and then other people can't. And it's just expanding your own frequency, perhaps.
Right.
In the correct way. I'm not sure how to do that, only through living your truth. How else can you, and trusting that.
So I think that Ariel has queued up the cell singing. Ariel, are you there? Hello?
Yes.
No.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So why don't we do a little...
Let's do the animals.
Yeah, well, let's do a demonstration. If you have her cell singing where you can play it, and then if you would, Liza, would you talk to some people that want to call in and talk about their animals?
I would love to. I would love to. So would you start the cell singing, play that, and just tune me in for the calls, okay?
So those of you that are listening that want to ask her a question, be sure that you put the name, the age, general location, and the issue of the pet. Have all those things ready so that you'll be able to get through the session with her quickly. So back to you, Ariel. It's been so nice talking to you, and I hope that we email back and forth and stay in contact, because I've just got a feeling that we've got more work to do together on the planet.
Oh,
and we would love to have you come back and be our guest again later.
Thank you, Lavender. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Liza, I have a clip from your self-singing CD called Ask Your Soul to Dance. And this particular piece is called The Void. Would you like to preface before I start it?
Yes, I will, actually. It's my favorite piece, and the void for me, it's not empty, it's totally full. I wanted to create the beginning of time, back where there was in the nothingness of nothingness, in the back of the cave, as the spring starts trickling. It's just the beginnings of life, the beginning of creation. So I just was feeling that at the time. There's everything in the void. There's all creation in the void, yet it tenses. It's just that strange paradox.
Okay, well, I will play the clip, and then after the clip, we will start with our callers that have questions about their pets. So this is called The Void by Liza Callen.
Thank you.
Wow, that can really take you out of this dimension.
Thank you. I was just listening to it. The quality didn't come through. There was a lot of disturbance, so I hope some people got that. If they do want an MP3 of just that, they're welcome to email me and I can send it, because there was a lot of interference, but I'm glad you heard it good.
The software here at Blog Talk is not designed for musical audio quality, which I told you about earlier. So, but we're just glad that you shared that in it. And if you do want to hear the song as it was meant to be heard, just send Liza an email. What is your email address?
It's Liza Jan Tallon, Tallen, @gmail.com.
And that is on your website as well.
It is. It's all on my website, or Liza@thepetpsychic.com. Yes.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
All right. Well, we are ready with callers who wish to speak with you, and I'm just going to go in the order that they showed up here. So
first
we are going to talk to Judy, and Judy has a question about Sylvester, who is about 9 years old. Judy, where is your pet located, and what is the issue?
And what species?
I'm sorry, but this is Judy, and Sylvester is in the town of Stockton, California, and I didn't get to hear your last question there that you said.
Sorry, Sylvester a cat or a dog?
He's a cat.
That's what I thought.
Okay. And he kind of adopted us, and we've had him for about 8 years. But I think he was abandoned, and I think he's about 10 years old. We have a community where we take care of Alzheimer's and dementia residents, and he is like our house cat there. And he's one of the hardest working ones around there. But my concern is he's getting a little bit older, and I don't know if we're stressing him out with that environment and if he needs a retirement plan. Just because he behaves wonderfully around all of our residents, and just want to get a feel for him.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. Immediately I tuned in, Sylvester also has his destiny, and we can't sort of sometimes project our own, like, oh, we better sort of shut him in a bit, or maybe he can just be with a couple of people, or... He will choose. He feels like he's a very independent, and that's the way he's chosen to live. And if he looks like he's getting, really worn out or he's sick or something, please attend to him. But that's the nature of who he is. And sometimes animals, and 9 isn't that old for a cat. I've seen some pretty, getting up there cats. So he will also choose who he wants to spend more time with when he does need more naps or he does need these chilled out time. So I would, sometimes we need to sort of step back and see that the soul of the animal, it's just like the soul, they're not the soul like the souls of us, but they have their uniqueness, their destiny, their abilities, the nature of who they are. And he's probably just one of those cats that would probably go crazy if he's locked up too much. And we can't have that.
Okay. Yeah, he kind of runs the joint. He goes where he wants, comes and goes as he pleases.
Yes. I think that's better that he does that because really we've got to let all souls be free. As long as he's fed and he's loved and he not everyone just wants one owner. Or they, I don't even like to call them owners, the carers, the carers of the animal. So much as we say my little poochie woochie, they are little souls with very real, ways and personalities, so we got to let them be who they are, unless it's dangerous.
Okay, because he's been hanging out in the office more, and we've been having more people cross over since January, about 5 every month. And
he could be part
of it. Why make sure?
Yeah. He also could have he has his own job, mate. He's part, a lot of cats, well, actually a lot of animals, they're all spiritual, but some are more, very much more geared to a healing, or a lot of cats do see spirit, and dogs, so that may be very much part of his job. And I've never met an animal that's been afraid of death. Never. Being whether he's working with people that are crossing over soon, or just tuning in, or just being there for them, or just being hanging around the area, it's maybe just exactly what he wants to do by the sounds of things, because, you know, animals evolve too. They have many, many lives, and they have their missions too. You know, Lavender was talking about our missions, and animals have their missions. I think if he needs more time in certain areas, that's fine, like I said, but just let him be who he is, really. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. It puts my heart at ease.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks for calling, Judy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Next, we're going to be talking to Dawn. And, Dawn, please tell us where your animal, your dog, is, and his age, and or her issue. So let me get your mic open here. Okay, Dawn, you're on the air. Hi.
Great. Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. Star is, she's 4 years old. She's in North Texas, and she's just a very sweet, good, calm dog, and I just thought I'd take the opportunity to ask, what does she want me to know?
Okay, let me just give me a moment to tune in. You worry too much, that's what she's saying. You worry, you worry too much. She said you're a big worrier, and then she worries because you're worried. And she tries not to, but I would suggest that, sometimes I suggest animals to, actually sit with their, even for 5 minutes, and just do a breathing light meditation, and mm-hmm. just sort of bend your head, bring it through the top of your head, and animals love it, actually, and it helps them. She doesn't need any self-calming as such, but she's got stuff in her stomach too. I don't know whether her digestion goes a bit funny, or she could go bit funny on food, but it's nothing serious, but it's where she holds her anxiety. Do you hold your anxiety in your belly?
A bit, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. Okay. Let's just see what else she's got to say. You really love her. You let her be her, and she loves that more than anything. She's a very good. She can have good or bad dogs or what have you, but it's such a good fit. It's a perfect fit for the two of you. It's like you meet her on an even level. She's not just your dog, is she? You meet her, she's your friend. She's your companion. She knows you a lot better than you even know yourself, she said. So, and
yeah.
There's also, yeah, she's, let me just tune in. She's got to say something. And there's an unexpected, there's someone out of the blue that's going to come and see you haven't seen for ages, she said. She can already feel it. So there you go. They are psychic sometimes, quite often. Don't be surprised if you hear from someone out of the blue, and have a love kindness in your heart. Because if there's any little bit of forgiving, just do it. Because it doesn't mean you have to be their best friend again, but there's something, someone's coming out of your past to reconnect for whatever reason, for whatever level. Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Great. Well, thanks for calling, Dawn. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. All right. Next, we are going to be talking about a dog named Maggie. And
Maggie.
The caller's name is Rayasun. We'll just call you Ray. How is that? And please tell us Maggie's age, location, and issue.
Okay. Hi there, Liza. How are you?
Hi.
My question, well, Maggie's from Austin, Texas. She's about 7 to 8 years old. She's got a problem with her back paw, and I was just wondering, what does she have to say about this?
the back paw. Did you say Maggie was a dog? I missed that bit. Maggie was
a dog? Yes, she's a lab.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Let me just tune in. The back paw. It feels like there must have been an injury because there's sort of a pre-arthritic situation going on. And there's something about, I can feel in her, I don't know whether it's not tendonitis. Just those little, the base of her, at the back of her leg too, there's a bit of tendonitis or something like that. I would suggest there's this really amazing product. I certainly don't sell it, but it's called New Zealand Green Lift Muscle, and it's one of the best things that, and it's not expensive. It has to be that New Zealand Green Lift. You can get it online somewhere, and it's really, really wonderful for any type of, because that feels like it's going, it's been there a while, hasn't it? Is it not getting better? Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't want it to get any worse, but it's a really good, a wonderful thing. People take it too, but for animals, they have animal varieties, and it will really noticeably decrease the inflammation and the pain, certainly take the pain away. But I'd just be mushing it up in a food and going from there, because that's what it feels like. I'll just see if she's got anything else to say while I'm here with her.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. our next caller, her name is Eileen. And she has a question about her dog. Eileen, your dog's name, age, location, and she gets spooked out.
Lucy is a terrier. We live outside of Nashville, Tennessee, in a city called Murfreesboro. And I've had her for about 3 years, maybe 3.5. I don't know, we found her after tornadoes, so we never found her real family or anything, and I took her in, and she seems to get spooked a lot. I don't know why. If I walk her, it's me and her in the townhouse by ourselves, and I go to work at 5, so I'm outside with her at 4 o'clock in the morning, and she seems very intuitive. She sees things. She spooks me out because I get afraid. I'm like, well, what are you looking at, you know? But also in the house, she'll be looking around like she sees a lot of things.
Yes, well, with Lucy, having such a trauma is probably, sometimes trauma can really activate and open a lot up. She probably had those gifts or those abilities, but I'm just going to have a little quiet talk to her when we finish tonight and see if we can get spooking under control, because it's one thing to talk to a person, you know, on the radio, but I actually take time to also talk to the animals to actually, you know, release the trauma, any trauma they've had in the past. And a lot of animals, if they've been rescued or if they've been found, they need to know, firstly, this is their forever home. Nothing bad's going to happen. It's a safe world, even if the energy sounds and feels weird out there. I mean, I'm saying this out loud to you now, but I will get off when I finish this program and just have a little talk to her, because it's really about solving things. You know, it's really about shifting the behavior, or the relaxing Lucy and even saying to her, and how you talk to animals, it's all telepathic. So you talk to her and you say, hey, there's many worlds, Lucy. You know, you say silently, there's many worlds, there's many beings, there's many creatures. You're not responsible for protecting. You know, I get a sense that she couldn't help her family. You know, that no one could help anyone in a tornado unless, you know, it's pretty hard, you know. So maybe she's in that over, might get a sense she sort of...
After the tornado, as far as I know, she was found wandering around.
Yeah, but she experienced it in whatever capacity. She, you know what I mean? She but serious trauma. You know, she lost her family. There was this howling, dreadful wind and, you know, whatever else happened. But she may also have taken on, I really need to protect you. I really need to. So I'm watching for everything. But you just telepathically say, I'm going to be fine. You don't need, this is not your job. A lot of people say, oh, when they leave the house, oh, you better protect. I'm not saying you do, but you better mind the house now and don't let the burglars in. And so, you know, they naturally all of a sudden get all sort of antsy and protective, and it's really not their job. They will naturally do that. So we can tell Lucy right from this moment that she can relax into her life, even if it's been 3 years. They still don't know for sure what could happen. So my sense is that she's just taken this on too much, and it somehow opened her up. She's probably always seen different things, but it's made her a lot more anxious about how are we going to protect my new mummy? You know, what do I have to do? And so she doesn't need to prove anything. You have spiritual protection. She doesn't need
right.
to protect. Yeah, so you telepathically tell her that. And maybe animals are very visual too. So if you can visualize some angels or galactics or, you know, whatever, or your spirit guides or just a light being just standing next to you saying, hey, they're going to take care of us, Lucy. You can relax
mm-hmm.
now. You'd be surprised even when you get off the phone how difficult it'll be. I tell you.
Really?
It doesn't for them to get it, you know.
I never thought about that. But, you know,
yeah.
It just flips me out when I'm out there by, you know, just the two of us at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what do you see, you know? What are you looking at? And then
mm-hmm.
I get nervous and, you know.
Yeah, and then it's
like, well, let's go in the house, you know.
Yeah, well, I'd be just putting your auric protection around you, you know, a bubble of light, a pyramid, or, you know, just before you go out and just build it and it gets stronger and know you're always protected. Because
mm-hmm.
she's probably in an instant, a millisecond, that you're a bit nervous because it's happened a few times before. So, you know, there's a little slight trepidation, even unconsciously. And so she's getting into that habit. So it's like, you know what, I'm gonna have a real talk to her and saying we're always protected. We're always
okay.
protected. Yeah, really. And it doesn't mean that you don't look behind you, you know, over your shoulder or something, but know that it's not her responsibility. And she will protect you if necessary. She'll bite the little ankle of whoever's ever going to come and, you know, whatever. But don't worry about spirit. You can't feed into the fear of all these weird things that she's seen. It's like there's always weird things around. It's like we're not going to focus there because it's like it can't touch you. And so only the fear makes it even more that they can touch you, that they'll never touch you.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel it. You are safe. You are safe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
That
helped a lot. I mean, you know, yeah. I'll talk
yes.
to Lucy a yes. little bit more. And we're going to be just fine.
You will.
Great.
You will.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling
us. Have a
good
night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, we've got a few more callers, and I'm trying to keep an eye on the time as well. Next, we have Lisa. Let me get your mic open. Okay, Lisa, can you just give the nutshell of information that Liza needs?
My cat's name is Bella Bloom. She passed away approximately 10 weeks ago. The day I left for my honeymoon, she curled up on my son's bed and fell asleep and never woke up. She found us. She was a blessing and a great protector for at least 7 years that we had her. And I just wanted to know, last weekend we finally got the courage to go look at the animal shelter where a friend of mine works. And we found a little kitten that had the same spunk as
yes.
Bella Bloom did.
Yes.
And we're going to adopt her.
Wonderful. There's something that is her name Darla, the other cat you had? Just before you go to sleep at night, it's a really wonderful time to actually set your intention to say, okay, let's hang out tonight, show me your new world, or come down here and just be with me. Animals don't always like being thought of as in the past tense. They're dead, they're this, and I try and explain to them, they, you know, well, you're not in the body, and so everyone thinks you're not here, and so...
Oh, she's been in the house. We have heard things in the house, and I really feel she had a strong connection to my son. They were the best of buds.
Yes.
So I really feel she's around him a lot.
Yes, they do. They move through the light very rapidly. I've never seen an animal stuck, but they do like to keep a check out. And I'll just tell you something about dog or cat heaven or anything. It's never a big old park where they're all running around. When I meet them, they're often with people that have passed on within the family. They may not be... even known that member. So it's really interesting. There may be a few animals there, but it's usually a bunch of people come up with the animals. And,
yeah.
And that's often tell, really. I had one dog one time. The baby that was going to be born about a year later in this family, he said they weren't having any more babies. And so he said, there's a baby girl coming down. So this wonderful little dog was hanging out with the soul of the child that was coming in. And they said, we're not having another baby. And I said, oh, sorry, okay. And then, of course, they emailed me or called me, whatever it was, several months later, saying, we're pregnant with a baby girl. And I went, well, that's little Snowy for you, you know. So I understand there's something about animals and spirit I can trust more than a lot of the other different gurus or books. You know, you can hear these things and I think, wow, it really is different. Not, it really is there, or, you know, they're so amazing. Now, as far as the little kitten goes, make sure that your names are really important. So if the rescue is given it a name, it's probably better to change it, you know, when you get home. So, and really make sure to tell that kitten, usually kittens, even if they're rescued and they're little, unless they're traumatized, just make sure this is your forever home. And just telepathically talk to it, just whenever you want to, visuals, thought, feeling, anything at all, just create that from a very early stage, and you'd be very surprised. They don't just talk about, I want more fish. They can talk about the boyfriends, the husbands, the kids, the sister that's not so nice, this you've got to get go of, you've got to worry, you've got to let that job go. They know everything about your life. And I tend to trust them a lot more, especially if they're the real wise ones, which a lot of them are. I trust what they've got to say. So begin that telepathic connection. Even though you talk to your kitten out loud probably all the time, when you want to say anything important, this is for everyone, say it silently. And it's like being like a radio receiver and transmitter. So you might think, oh, I said this to the cat or the dog or the snake or whatever, but know that you can receive. So you take a few breaths, you empty your mind, you ask a question, and then take a few breaths, and then receive. Now, if you don't get anything the first time, or you get a mumble, or you get a strange visual in your head, just keep trying it. Say, oh, okay. Don't say, oh, I don't know, I can't do this. Just say, oh, right, okay. And then a day later, an hour later, ask a simple question. Or how are you? Or what do you want to do? Or anything like that. And then one, especially after an animal communication session, they always want to try and talk to their carers in a very big way. So know that this has already set the stage, because even that little kitten, even if you haven't got it home, it knows. And I know that it knows. So,
well,
you know,
we've already named it Zelda.
Oh, Zelda. Oh, that's a great... Oh, she's going to be a handful. I can feel that already. She's got personality. Zelda.
Yeah, she does. We're trying to find a little playmate for her also, but we haven't found the right one yet. I have a feeling when we go pick her up, we'll find one.
I'll just give you a quick little tip about introducing another animal into the family, and this works like a whiz for dogs, cats, or anything. But well, for for cats, I get them when they first get introduced. You put a little bit of like fish oil or a little bit of gooey stuff on their fur. The other cat will, or the kitten will lick it off. They immediately get their saliva and scent on the animal. And so they're integrated into the family. This is my my. And with dogs, I use peanut butter. And so you're introducing another dog. You don't do it in the house, maybe out the front or in a park or something. You put the peanut butter on, the dog licks it, the saliva gets all over, and he feels comfortable. There's no threat because the dog...
Oh.
It works.
I like it's that. Really, I do. That feels good. That really feels good.
Yes. Okay.
Well,
I hope that helps.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. You'll have a beautiful evening.
Thanks for calling, Lisa. Bye-bye. Okay. Well, we are going to have time for two more, and that will be Chris and Vanya. Chris, we're going to come to you first. Here, let me get your mic open. Okay, Chris, your cat's name is Calvin.
Yes.
9 years old and in Pennsylvania. And what is the issue?
Issue is hyperthyroidism. And first of all, I just want to say when your song, your cell singing came on, Calvin came up the steps, perched himself at the top step just to listen. And when it was done, he left.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty funny. So, yes, he was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism. He is on methimazole at the moment, 2.5 milligrams, and he's losing all his hair. My question is, the dose too high, number one. Number two is, our goal is to get the thyroid radioactive iodine to permanently, you know, I want to get to the root cause to irradiate the thyroid that is diseased so he can, you know, be normal again and be off meds. So I don't know if that's something he wants to do.
Right, yeah. Let me just tune in for a moment. It's more complicated than they're saying, I think. Okay. Is it okay? Yes, it's kind of funny. We're right again. Yes, the dosage needs to be adjusted.
Too high?
Too high. Yeah, it's way too high. Did they start him high or what? They
no, I requested that they started him low because I felt that. We started at 1.5 or 2.5, and they said this isn't enough. They always check for underlying kidney disease because the thyroid pushes the kidneys. So once you start playing with the thyroid, the kidney disease can show its ugly little face. So far he's holding, you know, they check his values.
Yes.
So they have to up the dose to, excuse me?
Also,
say it again?
Yes. I understand. Okay, now let me just tune into the other thing. Let me just feel this. Oh, he really is uncomfortable. Is he eating enough and it's just going through him?
They have a ravenous appetite with hyperthyroidism. They eat everything. Yes. I'll be woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning to feed my ass. So if I don't get up...
Yes. Well, he's saying he's hungry now, and I thought, well, surely you must have fed him before the show. But
no, he's at my feet. He's waiting. I have the pouch. He's here.
Oh, right. Okay. I got it.
But yeah, once I feed him, he gets the medicine in his ear. So it's a catch-22, and he knows it.
I see. Now he's just desperate for his food at the moment. But the other thing is, it might sound a very simple remedy, but I just sort of a bit of protection for the kidneys. But he probably, there's a liquid. He needs to drink more, maybe chicken broth. He could probably get a box of it or...
Yes, no, I make my own, and I do give him my bone broth.
Oh, good. He needs, for some reason, I'm really picking up strongly, he needs to be drinking that pretty much every day.
Okay.
It's very nourishing, and it really helps sort of support the kidneys, and so we don't ever get to that point of the kidneys, because there is some strain already. He's just not, he's really not himself, and, you know, he is himself, but it's like he's saying, I don't know what's happening, you know, and so... you may just also tell him, you know, telepathically and silently that this is what you're doing and this is his situation, because he doesn't seem to know what on earth is going on. So even if you don't think he understands that he's thyroid, maybe you could sort of slightly tighten your throat and say there's a problem there. And also, animals can do their own self-healing. So there's to a lesser or greater degree, depending on the animal, depending on the person, but to actually visualize blue light. Now, blue is very the perfect color for the thyroid. So you could sit there with him, you know, for a minute every day or twice a day and just visualize the blue in your own throat. You could all do with a bit of extra blue and make sure it goes into. So he knows also, okay, you're telepathically saying, okay, we're going to put some blue healing light into your thyroid now so we can start getting that a little balanced. And maybe it will have to get irradiated or maybe not. But let him do his own self-healing. So you can sit there, split the blue light in two sections, get it into his throat, get it into your throat, and you're visually teaching him, blue's the colour. Lose the colour. This is the colour. And you might think, well, it's a colour. But earlier we were talking about frequency, and that's what it's the frequency of the throat, the neck, the frequency of a lot of things, but it's the main frequency there. So teaching, and animals pick it up really quick. And so, or you could just visualise, whether you go to work or whether you're at home or whatever, you could just send him a big lot of blue light and just wrap it around his throat or his whole body. This works. This works. I know.
Okay. So. I'll do that. And then as far as, you know, whether or not he wants this, if this doesn't, in another week I get him tested. He gets his thyroid tested again, and he gets his kidneys tested. If his kidneys held, then it's a go. But my question is, does he want this thyroid? Otherwise, I have to keep him on medicine for the rest of his life. If this blue light does not work, hey, I'll take some of that emerald green.
Oh, yeah, we love the green. It's my favorite color. But blue is for the throat. Well, you've only got a week, so we got to see. Let me just ask you, he just wants it to stop. So if this is going to help this condition stop, he doesn't care. He doesn't quite know. You're going to have to explain about the operation or the burning or, you know, or the laser or whatever they do it. But,
it's just an injection, but he's gone for a week. That'll probably flip him out.
Okay, now this is another little quick, I'll try and do as quick as I can. So he's gone for a week. So he's not in any extra stress or trauma. You visualize a sun, a night sky with stars, a sun, a night sky with stars. You do that 7 times. And so you tell him, with a visual, you'll be home after 7 suns and 7 night skies. So sun, night sky, sun, night sky. Now you can also use that when people go away on vacation or they go for the weekend. So the animal knows they're very tuned into nature. After 2 suns or 7 suns and 7 night skies, they'll be home or you'll be home. So that's another little quick little tip for anyone that's vacationing or anyone that's got to leave their pet for a short or a long time. So tell him, but he wants it over. He wants it done.
I don't blame him. So do I.
Yes.
I'm on this over too.
He's way over it. So he's not a happy cat, you know. I mean, he's trying to be, but he's just not. It feels like it's getting out of control for him, you know. He just can't keep up. So I would suggest, you know, it sounds rather drastic, but I would suggest if he can handle it, and I don't know what the recovery period is, but you need to tell him this is what's going to happen and your throat might be sore or this is going to happen and da-da-da. But he wants it done. He just can't stand it anymore. It's like he feels like he's losing a battle. You know,
he is. It's only been, I guess, 6 weeks, but, for him, it's probably a lifetime, at least one.
No, it's radical. Yeah, it's radical. It's a huge change in his body. He doesn't like it at all, and it's really disturbing him. Okay, I hope that's helped.
Yes, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Chris. Bye-bye. Okay, well, we have time for one more, and that will be our sweet Vanya. As soon as I get the switchboard under control here, I'm going to open up your microphone. Vanya is our switchboard host, and you are on the air, sweetie.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, my question is about my dog. She's a Cocker Spaniel. Her name is Jax.
She is almost 11 years old, and we've been going through a chronic health, couple of health conditions that seem to go away and come back for the last 8 months. I am a natural person, so I treat her with a lot of natural tinctures and such. I just don't know what else to do, and I'm hoping that there's something that you can pinpoint that I can work with the naturopath on.
Okay, let me just see.
Oh, by the way, I live in Ottawa, Canada.
Okay, right, yeah. Okay. There's something going on with her ears, and she's got some food allergies. Have you had any kinesiology or checks for food? I don't know whether you've there's any rice in the diet or in the things, but that definitely needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
Any rice is very weak on rice. Let me just feel out whatever else. Well, her heart's a bit wonky too. It's nothing seriously wrong with her heart, but she says, I'm just listening to her, what she's saying, sometimes it beats funny. So you've got to think, well, it may be because she could be excited. I'm not picking up some big heart condition, but it's like boom, 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 boom. You know, so there's that may be an anxiety thing, or it could be something else. But she did say her heart beats funny, and then she said her ears get sore, and then she says my stomach hurts. So what's in the stomach? What types of food is she on right now? Is she on a really good diet or strict or type of controlled diet?
We feed her all natural food, whether it's human food that's been cooked by us or something that's called tripe. We really, it's high-grade food all the way. It has been for quite some time.
Yeah, I just get her sense there's quite a bit of discomfort in her body, maybe not all the time, but it just sort of builds and builds. Is there, in this chronic condition, what is specifically is like, why would it come away and go? Is it because of the naturopathic attention or, you know, getting on top of things again? Or it's just a sort of mysterious thing that manifests because she gets very, very uncomfortable in her body with it. And does she lose the appetite or what happens? What's the situation what's the situation?
Sometimes she does have an appetite issue. She used to eat like a regular dog twice a day. Now she cuts herself down to once a day, sometimes twice a day. But it's not like she doesn't eat enough. She eats plenty. It's just that sometimes she's really picky about what she eats.
Yes. Okay.
She did catch Lyme's disease when she was a puppy. But I went through a whole rigmarole with that, and for several years we had a huge health problem with her. But thank God to a naturopath, we were able to get it under control, taking natural tinctures and stuff like that. And then it seemed to have totally disappeared, and then now it's starting to rear again, but in different ways.
Because I can feel, it's like I'm trying to pinpoint one area of the body, and she says, well, this hurts, and my ears, and my head goes a bit funny, and then my stomach, and then... So I'm trying to think, what has she got, you know? So it may be some weakened, you know, Lyme's is a dreadful disease. I mean, it can be cured. It's not easy. But it may have weakened, you know, somewhat the organs, or if there's anything that goes a little wonky, or she doesn't seem to be stressed, but I'm picking up all these different areas in her body that, and it just seems quite bizarre. So it's probably just the weakened part. I'm sure you can get her healthy again, but it's you've really got to be on the ball with it actually, because she's getting up there a bit too, and so there's nothing, you know, I would suggest sometimes if there's something like willow or flower essence that could release the discomfort, because she just doesn't feel, you know, it's just all, I've got a head, because it often refers to me, so my head's all funny now, and then my stomach, and then my ears have gone wonky, and she just, and the taste in her mouth, like her tongue, it feels like it tastes, you know, you can get that sort of chemical weird taste on your mouth sometimes when you're not quite well. And it couldn't hurt to scrub a tongue, because that might sort of just take off some bacteria or something and get her appetite, you know, a little bit more tuned in, but... Yeah, I think you just got to take really good care of her, you know, and not get worried about it, because if you worry about an animal when they're sick, they start worrying about, you know, oh gosh, I must be, you know, really sick, or they worry about you, they worry about themselves. So I just think you're just going to have to really be attentive with the diet and with the naturopath and with whatever, because there's different things that get triggered. And she doesn't seem to have a lot of stress, because I asked her about that. So she doesn't get triggered by stress. It may be a change of season or just a certain time of year, or who knows. But, she's got very beautiful energy. She's got beautiful eyes. I can just see them there looking at me saying, help, help. So, yeah, something like a little something that could make her more comfortable, a natural remedy. You know, willow is good for pain. I just can't think of anything else at the moment, but I'm sure there is. And ask your naturopath. I've got a whole list of little things that, because there's definitely discomfort in the body and some pain too. So I think that you've got to address the physical things and then see what we can do. But I think it's probably from the Lyme, just the residue, whether it tests positive or not. It's weakened certain areas. Okay.
I think that, I just want to ask really quickly, both me and my mother are energy healers. Do you think by running the energy will help align and fix things? Because I'm at a wit's end. She's already been a naturopath. She's on so many different tinctures every single day. I just need to find something alternative in a way to help her out. I really don't want to go down the aspect of steroids and such.
Oh, no, not steroids. No, steroids is the beginning of the end. They're very, very toxic. I'm sure you do healing on her, but you must know how to sort of flick negative energy off. I'd be doing that sort of daily. And then just sort of topping her up with that pure life force. I flick off negative energy, or no, I don't say negative, but old unwanted energy. So I just swirl my hand anti-clockwise probably half a dozen times and then flick, flick, flick. And then the last one I do is a clockwise movement. And I've done that for many years, thousands of people and animals, and it's really powerful. So anti-clockwise to pull energy off. And you could do a lot of energy work on her. If she's on that many tinctures, she can't, there's no need for her to be on anymore. But just maybe they'd probably be very gentle, but do your energy work. I'd be visualizing light. I would actually encourage her to do her own healing too, like I said a couple of times tonight, you know, that she also, animals can assist. Animals talk about past lives to me, and when they're in the temple here, they know about meditation, they know about tuning in, they know how to put light in their bodies. A huge percentage of them do. So don't underestimate the power of their own self-healing. But you need to initiate it, and to say you too can do it. For your pet that, okay, we're doing this today and you're going to learn how to do it and you're going to do it every day and this is going to help you heal. So I know it sounds a bit far out there, but actually it's not. And so they also need to take charge of their own bodies to a degree, but we need to help them. Okay?
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Great. We'll talk to you later, Vanya.
Thank you.
Well, Liza, it has just been a pleasure having you on the show, and I want to thank you so much on behalf of all of our callers here for your generosity in sharing your gifts and also your music. Lavendar, do you have anything you would like to add before we wrap it up?
I want to go to Peru.
Yeah, but you love Peru.
How many starseeds want to go with me?
Oh, yes.
Well, it could happen.
I'm sure it could. I'm already feeling it.
Well, it has just been a pleasure having you with us. And just one more time, your websites are thepetpsychic.com.au. And your other website is innerworldhealing.com. And it has been a pleasure having you with us tonight, Liza. And we just may see you in Peru.
I think you may. I'm feeling the vibe. I'm feeling the vibe. So.
So we would love that. And make sure you tell our friend Emily hello. And yes. So on behalf of everyone here at Starseed Radio Academy, I want to thank you for listening. And again, special thanks to Liza Callen for being with us this evening. We will be back next week. And did you have something to say there, Liza?
No, I just said thank you for allowing me the opportunity. Thank you. And Ariel?
You are so welcome. Well, everyone, we will talk to you next week right here at Starseed Radio Academy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.